Good morning. It's Friday, July 17th. I'm Fletcher Powell, and this is Wichita's early edition from KMUW News. Coming up, we learn about the timeless appeal of vintage baseball.
If it's a ball or a strike or out or safe, those are the arguments that we have. And that's much more refreshing than other arguments you could be having.
We'll experience 19th century baseball with the Old Cowtown Vintage Baseball Club. That's coming up after the news. Kansas education officials could soon let people report student walkout protests that they believe violate a new law, raising concerns about student privacy and expression. KMUW's Daniel Cottle reports.
Under a new state law, students participating in a walkout must have their parents' permission, among other restrictions. Now the state is considering a complaint form that would invite people to report walkouts that they believe violate that law. Gabby Delaney is an incoming sophomore at Derby High School. She participated in a walkout against ICE last semester.
It just defeats the whole point of protesting. Like, it's not supposed to be like, oh, can we protest? It's supposed to be like, hey, we need to make a change.
Protests that disrupt school attendance are not necessarily protected by the First Amendment. Still, some worry the law punishes student expression. It also raises privacy concerns, as the complaint form would ask for details like the names of student organizers. For KMUW News, I'm Daniel Cottle.
Sedgwick County has proposed lowering its mill levy next year, but it's unclear whether that will translate to lower tax bills because of rising property values. The county plans pay raises for all employees, including a 6% increase for sheriff's office workers and more than 8% for the fire department. All other county employees will get a 4% raise. County Commissioner Ryan Beatty says the draft budget balances rising costs with the need to keep taxes in line.
We work for the people, and the people have very clearly said, we cannot afford the rising cost of government. Please do something. I think all five of us have heard that loud and clear from the people we work for.
The proposed budget includes adding 2 new ambulances, 10 new EMTs, and 5 paramedics. The county will hold a public hearing on the budget on July 29th. Commissioners are scheduled to approve it in late August. The nation's hospitals are running low on blood. The American Red Cross has declared an emergency as it seeks new donations. Logan Wright is regional communications manager for the Red Cross. Wright says anyone donating through the end of the month can get a voucher for free movie tickets.
The Fandango movie ticket promotion is for donors who come to give blood or platelets from now until July 31st. It's a voucher that's emailed to you worth $15, and you can take that, purchase a ticket, and go see a movie on us for helping us alleviate the blood shortage.
Blood donors can schedule a donation appointment online at redcrossblood.org. The federal government has approved a Kansas plan to offer more flexible support for people with disabilities to live independently at home. Rachel Schnelly of the Kansas News Service reports.
The new Kansas Community Support Waiver targets people age 5 and older with developmental and intellectual disabilities. It's for people who do not require 24-hour care, but still need help with things like therapies and employment services. The Kansas Department for Aging and Disability Services says federal regulators have approved a projected enrollment of 500 individuals for the first year. The new Medicaid program starts October 1st. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Rachel Schnelly in Pittsburgh.
The city of Wichita has hired a new fire chief. Michael Meir will take over the Wichita Fire Department in August. He's served nearly 30 years in the Houston Fire Department. Currently, he's Houston's assistant chief and oversees the department's emergency response command. Meir is an Army veteran. He has a bachelor's degree in public service leadership and a master's degree in human resource development. Wichita officials say his experience in special operations makes him a good fit for the department. Current Fire Chief Tammy Snow is retiring from the department. Demolition has begun at one of Wichita's oldest school buildings. Crews have started demolishing the former Chester Lewis Academy in northeast Wichita, which has been empty since December. Wichita School District officials closed the building after discovering unsafe conditions, including mold and structural damage. Students and teachers were relocated to the former Cleveland Elementary School building in southwest Wichita. The Chester Lewis building was originally Mathewson Junior High, and it served as a pillar in the predominantly black surrounding neighborhood. Mathewson closed in the late 1960s as part of efforts to racially integrate schools. Southwest Airlines will launch a new nonstop route between Wichita and Nashville this spring. Wichita's Dwight D. Eisenhower National Airport announced the new route yesterday. Starting in mid-March, Southwest Airlines will begin operating a daily nonstop flight to Nashville International Airport out of Wichita. The two-hour flight will leave Wichita around 4 p.m. Return flights leave Nashville around 8 a.m. This will be the fifth nonstop route operated by the airline out of Wichita. Southwest currently has nonstop flights to Chicago, Denver, Las Vegas, and Phoenix. The Wichita Aftershocks will return to defend their title when the basketball tournament begins Monday at Koch Arena. The Wichita State University alumni team will take on The Enchantment, which is made up of alumni from the University of New Mexico. 16 teams are competing for a winner-take-all championship prize of $2 million. Before Monday's game, a banner ceremony in Koch Arena will celebrate the Aftershocks championship in last year's tournament. The Aftershocks feature alumni Connor Frankamp and Trey Wade. Tickets for the tournament are at GoShockers.com. We'll be back after this. This week on You're Saying It Wrong.
Santa Fe, Tennessee. Sounds like a good song, doesn't it?
We're taking a road trip to the southern United States. That's this week on You're Saying It Wrong from KMUW Studios. I'm Fletcher Powell, and this is Wichita's Early Edition. Every summer, members of the Old Cowtown Museum's Vintage Baseball Club gather to recreate a nostalgic form of America's pastime. Roger Nomer watched a recent game featuring the Bulldozers and the Red Stockings, who demonstrate how the game was played in the late 19th century.
Fair ball, fair ball!
The boys of summer are back on the field at Old Cowtown Museum in Wichita, but this feels like a scene from the summer of 1879. The Cowtown Vintage Baseball Club is part of a nationwide association that recreates baseball the way it was played in the 19th century. Gary Dixie Lee is the club's volunteer coordinator. He says that in the late 1800s, businessmen formed the original Wichita Bulldozers to take on the Topeka Westerns, the best team in the state. Over 1,000 people attended those games at the Wichita Fairgrounds. They watched a game that roughly looks like modern baseball. There are 9 innings, 3 outs to an inning. 4 bases are 90 feet apart. There's a pitcher throwing to a batter.
The biggest differences are the pitching's underhand. Pitching was underhand until 1885. You could catch the ball on one bounce for an out and no gloves. Players didn't start wearing gloves until around 1880.
The volunteers at Cowtown look, act, and play the part. Their uniforms are baggy, long-sleeved, with the team's logo on the bib. They use short, wooden bats, and nobody goes by their real name.
Nicknames were very popular throughout baseball back then, so we've got some pretty fun nicknames.
Animal, Squeak,
Ike, Hoss,
Dashing Dave.
Players introduce themselves with a tip of the cap. Greg Hoss, who just goes by Hoss on the field, started as a fan before joining the team. Now he plays alongside his son, Little Hoss.
We have my son who's 12, 13, right, up to 65, 70-year-old players out here. And it's all skill levels from people who've maybe played once before to never to former college players.
Vintage baseball has been described as historical reenactment without a script. This morning's games are also competitive. Players dive for fly balls and leg out extra bases.
It's an opportunity to see all sorts of different level of skills, to enjoy baseball, but to enjoy seeing people enjoying baseball is what you'll see out here as well. Everybody's out here playing because they love to play.
Umpire Toby Hoosier-Ortstadt strikes an authoritative presence on the field. Dressed in a black suit, he waves a red handkerchief to punctuate calls.
The umpire is kind of the peacekeeper on one level, but you got to keep the game moving along. You know, you have to enforce the rules of the game.
Those rules form the basis for the game we watch today, and they connect Dixie, Hoss, and Hoosier to modern-day baseball players.
To me, that is something that I wish people would connect with, to see that there's that continuity over the centuries.
Ortstadt says baseball is uniquely American, and it's something that can transcend some of today's difficulties.
If it's a ball or a strike or out or safe, those are the arguments that we have. And that's much more refreshing than other arguments you could be having.
For KMUW News, I'm Roger Nomer.
The Cowtown Vintage Baseball Club will play a special exhibition game during the NBC World Series at X Stadium on July 26th. You can also catch them during their next regular game at Old Cowtown Museum on August 8th. Thanks for listening to Wichita's Early Edition. We'll be back again on Monday. Have a great weekend. For KMUW News, I'm Fletcher Powell.
Wichita's Early Edition is part of the NPR Podcast Network.
This week on Marginalia, we speak with Julie Bunton about her novel, Famous Men.
In real life, I think almost every woman has like a network of Me Too experiences across the course of their life, of different textures and varieties and different contexts.
Saturday morning at 11:30 on 89.1 KMUW.
Each story you hear on Planet Money starts with a question. What happens if we refund tariffs? Why are groceries so expensive? At NPR, we stand for your right to be curious, because the forces shaping our world can be hard to see. Follow NPR's Planet Money wherever you get your podcasts and start seeing how the economy really works.